Amen. Good morning. Oh, it's such an honor anytime someone asks you to take the pulpit. I've never took it lightly, and it's kind of funny. I had a feeling God was going to ask me to come up and teach. I wasn't sure it was this week or next week, but he was laying a lot of stuff on my heart. And I remember when the announcement came out in text, and I'm at work, and a lot of times I just can't pick up my phone. They don't allow it. And then I seen it during break time that they're looking for a preacher, and I said, well, I'll be a backup to a backup, thinking, boy, I got out of that one. And then Tracy says, you're on, and I was like, So Gaylene comes home from Women of Faith yesterday, and she said, well, what's the matter? I go, I got to preach. So she looked at me. She goes, do you enjoy preaching? I go, you know, actually, I don't. I love sharing the Word of God, and I love to share Word of God with anybody. But I said, you know what I really like? She goes, what? I go, messing with the audience. So I really enjoy being here with you guys. It's always a blessing and a privilege. You know, I feel the presence of God every time I come into the sanctuary here. And it's such a good feeling. And today I was sitting there in my chair, and I started to look around at everybody worshiping, and I seen guys' hands up and women's hands up, and it blessed my heart. And if it blessed my heart, it blessed the Father's heart. You understand what I'm saying? That's where the rubber meets the road, when you can learn to worship. Not so much in a gathering like this, but when you can go home on a bad day and raise your hand and say, Father, thank you. A lot of young Christians ask me the same question, how do I draw closer to God? I said, when you can worship in your closet. When you can worship when no one's around. When you can worship when everything is bad. That's when you'll grow closer to God. You'll realize how great a God we serve and how small your problems actually are. That's the kind of God we serve. But I'm going to need your help today. I always tell you I won't be long. I won't be boring. Can't be boring talking about Jesus, and I won't be long. That's just a matter of opinion, so we're okay there. So I need your guys' help. Can you do me a favor? Can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
You can do better than that. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time. Come on. Say Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we just invite you into this place. Jesus, we want your spirit to fill everybody here. Jesus, I need you. Father, it's such an honor to come before your presence, Father, but we have no right except the blood of your Son, Father. Oh, Father, not only did you love me, but you love everybody in this audience. Father, these are your people, Father God, and I'm just a servant, Father. Father, thank you. We just ask, Father, today that your will would be done, Father God. That you'd use me, Father God, to deliver a message you have given me. And I just praise you, Father, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A lot of times when God starts dealing with me, I start seeing problems. Either a bad teachings that come out in the churches and you know, that people flock to. I remember years ago, I don't know if any of you remember Toronto Blessings. You guys remember that move? All right, it's back in Toronto. They said God was moving there. And then we had the Brownsville Revival. Do you remember that? Okay, that was down in Florida. And that church, for a couple years, just exploded. And they got so big. And people were running to Brownsville to see the move of God. And everybody was excited. And then everybody left. And now they got this huge church with nobody in it. And someone asked me, do you ever go to these events? And I said, no. And they go, why? I go, because my God can do it here. My God can do it here in Eastside Calvary Chapel. My God can send revival in me and you. See, revival simply means to live again. So I was sitting at home enough. I've been reading the book of Acts a lot. And I see the move of God, and I see the power of God working through the lives of people. And I was thinking to myself, where'd the power go? And by the way, this morning, that word you gave us on fear, fantastic. Perfect love casts out fear. What a beautiful word. And I love it when someone would stand up, whether they want to or not, and say, God, go ahead and use me. See, that's what we need. But revival is going to start with you and me. See, I need you. and you need me. I need Tracy. I need Pastor Jim. Because we're called the body of Christ. We're all just a small piece of the puzzle. But God wants to use you. And a lot of us are mightier than what we become. Not in our own strength. But you are led by the Spirit of the living God. See, I look at the church world today and I shake my head when a man of God runs for office and he goes down to the Bible Beltway and he can't get any votes. And I'm thinking, well, how come Ben Carson, he's a man of God. I've heard him speak. I've heard him talk. He's been in churches and he loves God. And he can't pick up enough votes in the Bible Beltway. And I said, man, the church is in trouble. Our politicians want to talk about transgender bathrooms. I'm like, that's the biggest problem we have? How about the moral decline of America? How about the economy? We have transgender bathrooms. Come to the job site. We call them blue rooms. Anybody's allowed in them. We got the problem solved. Let's move on to more important issues. And for us, the issue is the church, me and you, not the building that's over our head. We want to flock to the newest, the greatest, the best, and God is right here. But what we need today in the church is a new commitment. A commitment that, okay, I don't like what the pastor says, so I'm going to the church next door. Why don't we make a commitment to bloom where we're planted? Why don't we make a commitment to stay here and support Pastor Jim in this ministry? Why don't we make a commitment to reach our neighborhoods for Jesus Christ? Why don't we reach that? That should be our goal. And I read and it said, wow, they took a handkerchief from Paul and they reached over here and they healed the sick. And Peter went and said, the lame guy, get up and walk. And he got up and walked. And I said, Paul, where's our father? Where's that power? I want to see that power again. I've seen it. But the greatest power that I've seen God do is transform lives. He did mine. He did yours. And I want him to see him do it for my neighbors. So I'm going to need your help today. And I'm going to ask you all a question. Tracy stepped out. How many church leaders do we have in here right now? Could you raise your hand? Okay, we got some church leaders. Okay, so we got spiritual leaders. How many spiritual leaders do we have here? Would you raise your hand? Every hand in this auditorium, raise your hand. Say with me, I am a spiritual leader. I am a spiritual leader. You are. It's just not about me. Just not about Tracy. Just not about Kelly. Just not Pastor Jim. You are a spiritual leader. And if you're not, stand up and be one. Simple, all right? And the reason I say this is this. If you call yourself a Christian, in your house, you should be a spiritual leader. At your workplace, you should be a light, therefore a spiritual leader. So don't let the devil ever tell you that you're not a spiritual leader because you don't have some title on you. It's that simple. Years ago, I was under a pastor, and he said, someday I'm going to ordain you. And I said, I really don't care. I can preach Jesus with or without a piece of paper. I don't need nothing. I don't. And I remember one day when I left the church, for a long story, and I don't want to get into it, but the pastor said, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? All your credentials are here. I go, I can give a rat's butt credentials. There's people lost on the street I can tell about Jesus. That's all I need. I don't need somebody's approval. And one day someone asked me, they said, well, I don't believe you're a church if you don't have a building. Church isn't about a building, it's about me and you. It's about me and you. Had a lady once said, I thought you left the church. I never quit serving God. I just worship in a different place. But when I came here, I felt the love of God. I felt the Holy Spirit. Worship is good. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you go in Colorado Springs. You're going to get as good as teaching here as you are anybody else. That Pastor Jim, he's on it. Don't tell him I said that, though, okay? We don't want his head to swell. But that man knows his word of God. You know, I thought, well, I know the Word of God, and I came here, and I said, man, I got a lot to learn. Got a lot to learn. And you got a pastor here that loves Jesus. That's the most important thing you can look for in a church, as a man of God that fears God and loves the Word of God and loves you. And you have one of them. So there's no place, no sense of going anywhere else. You're fine right here. But see, with this, we need your help. I need you to be a light in the darkness. I need you to be a spiritual leader. And I want you guys all to pray with me for a soul that God will win this year to Jesus Christ. But there's a catch. I don't want to be related to you. Because you pray for them anyways. I want you to pray for the boss that doesn't like you. I want you to pray for that neighbor that just does you wrong. In other words, I just want you to pray for someone that's truly lost. And ask God to show them, you, how you can minister to them. Amen? That should be all of our hearts' desire. But if you call yourself a born-again Christian, one, you should act like it. Two, you are a spiritual leader. And three, you are a light in the darkness. The world needs you. The church needs you. I want revival to start right here. I want it to start with me. And I want it to start with this church. And I want it to hit Colorado Springs. And I want it to spread out through America. And I want it to hit every Muslim nation in the world. I want it to hit this planet. But I need you to do that. Because we're in this together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not going to always get along. But I love you anyways. Amen. Last time I was here with you guys, I talked about motorcycles quite a bit. And I figured since I'm not too much politically correct, I would be at this time. And this time I'll talk about cars. That way nobody can say I'm not politically correct. All right. I want to talk to you today about proper alignment. And, you know, if you drive a car and your car's out of alignment, you can understand what I'm saying. You know, in Colorado here lately, our roads, our traffic, our speed is dictated by how many potholes are in the road. Hey, you know what I'm saying? There's potholes, you swerve and you swerve and you swerve. And my wife looks at me, what's wrong with you? I go, I didn't do the roads. I had nothing to do with roads. There's holes everywhere. But God forbid I don't stop for a squirrel. You know what I'm saying? The other day I'm driving and she looks at me. She goes, what are you doing? I go, well, I think I'm driving down the road here. And she goes, didn't you see that rabbit? No, I didn't see that rabbit. And she goes, well, what happened to you ran out of? I go, well, hopefully I'd have missed him by a hair. But anyways, she's always like, you think you're funny. I go, oh, I'm funny. I'm funny. Okay. You know, so proper alignment. If you hit one of them speed bumps hard enough, you know, you're going to probably have to take your car to the shop and get it realigned. But, you know, when we drive, there's all kinds of signs. There's speed limit signs. And there's stop signs, yield signs, warning signs. And God gives us the same thing in the Word of God. And he's trying to tell us something. Now, in the Corinthian church, to me, is a magnificent look at the church. Because it's just like me and you. It's all messed up. Boy, there was no amen there. All right. Well, I know I'm messed up, all right? My mind doesn't work like everybody's mind, and it's, you know, like my wife says, she goes, you really think you're funny. I go, I do. But anyways, the Corinthian church, there's so much problems and there's argument, debates, but the Spirit of God still moves. Isn't that like our God? Let me tell you something about our God. He uses imperfect people. Isn't that great? I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much. Because if he was going to use a perfect person, he couldn't be using me. That's the neat thing about our God. And I see him work miracles and miracles and miracles. And you know what Paul's really saying to the Corinthian church? In a worship service, this should take place. There should be healings, tongues, interpretation, tongues. All these things take place. You know why? Because it's not about the individual. It's about the glory of God. It's about giving power and honor and glory to our God. Jesus made a way, and we don't seem to understand that there's only one way, and it's important for us now to get on the road with him, to get on that narrow path and point people the right direction. It's that important. The time is urgent, and I need you, and you need me. We have to, as a church, stand up and say, no more sin. Can you put that stop sign up there? Anyways, there's supposed to be a stop sign. When you see a stop sign, I want you to remember, stop sinning. Pretty easy, huh? Stop. All right? We got to stop. We got to stop looking at sin. We got to stop focusing on sin. We got to stop all this nonsense in the church. And we got to focus on Christ. You know, I tell people, you drive your car, right? You got this big windshield in front of you. And you got this little mirror looking back. Because what's important is not where you came from, but where you're going. What's in the back of us, let us be buried. And let's focus on what's in front of us. The author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. Amen? All right, so we're reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. I am reading out of the New King James Bible. I belong to churches that if you didn't read out of the King James Bible, you're wrong. You know, God can use whatever he wants. So, you know, I don't get really hung up as long as it points the way to Christ. There was one time in a Bible study, I asked the people to go around different translations, and we're sitting there, and this girl that I know real well started reading out this translation. And I go, stop, hold on. And I walked up, I go, can I see that? And she said, yes. And I picked it up and I threw it away. And I said, I'll get you a new one. Because that had nothing to do with God. Matter of fact, translation was so lost, I was like, oh boy, I don't know what they're even trying to say in this passage. And she goes, well, this is the only one I had. I said, that's all right. We will gladly get you a new one. But God is God. He can use whatever he wants. He can use whoever he wants. And I tell people all the time, if God can use a donkey, he can use Dwayne. I'm as hard-headed as a mule. All right, here we go. We're going to start at verse 1. And it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, and until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor that he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which has given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another one built upon it. But let each one take heed on the way he builds on it. For no other foundation can anybody lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, to anyone that builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will be clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he was built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Okay, the most important thing I get out of this passage is one, division, but it's about Jesus, all right? I tell people all the time, it's all about Jesus. If there's one way to go, it's point your eyes towards the cross of Calvary and focus on Jesus. It can't be about Dwayne. It can't be about what I want. It can't be about material. It has to be about Jesus. But he's saying, hey, is there strife among you? Is there division among you? You know, I've seen churches split over some of the most ridiculous things in the world that had nothing to do with spiritual things. Which side to put the piano on? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Well, I left this church because of this, and I left that church because of that. Really? Your eyes are not upon Jesus if you're focusing on what's going around you. See, what I need from you and what this church needs from you is we need to come together in one accord. Let's quit chasing silly ideals and silly dreams. One of the big teachings coming around that I've heard lately, and I hear this all the time, and it just drives me crazy. Years ago, I heard it for the first time about, 10 years ago on a job site. And another Christian came up and he goes, "You want to know what I believe?" "Sure, why not?" "Well, I'm going to tell you the kind of church I go to." "Great, fantastic." "See, we believe that all scripture is inspired of God for teaching, training, rebuking, and righteousness, that a man of God will be thoroughly equipped for all good works." 2 Timothy 3:16. Great, fantastic. "But," and I'm like, I've read that passage a lot. I've never read "but." And he goes, no, hear me out. All right, okay. And he said, "Well, but Paul was the apostles to the Gentiles." Oh, yeah, correct. I won't argue that point. "Well, so all we really need to study is Paul's writing." "Well, didn't you just say all scripture?" "Yeah, but Paul's apostle." "All right, and we don't believe the church age started till somewhere in Acts, like second chapter where the Holy Spirit came down." And I said, "Well, my problem with that is I believe it started when he rose again because it proved he was the Son of God." "But that's fine. You want to say Acts, okay, they'll say the church." "Well, we really don't quite believe in Acts. We believe in the middle." And I go, "Can I tell you something? It's not about Paul. It never has been, never will be. It's about Jesus." I said, "Matter of fact, if you read Corinthians, which Paul wrote, Paul said, I'm just a servant of God. It's not about me. So I'm letting you know, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus." And that's where we got to keep our focus. To have proper alignment, if we're going to take as many people to heaven with us, because how many of you have lost loved ones? How many of you want Satan to win? There you go. I don't want the slime ball to win either. I want every soul that I can reach for Jesus. And if I keep my eyes focused that it's all about him, then I'm on that highway to heaven. I'm in the right area. But you got to watch out for the speed bumps. One, we got to stop sinning. There can't be division among us. There can't be petty disagreements. One thing that bothered me about certain churches was they'd have the board that told the pastor what to do. And I said, And I said, "Well, I can't follow that." And they said, "Why not? We pick and choose our pastor." I said, "Because God always speaks to the leadership. When God spoke, he spoke to Moses." Anybody here remember what God told Aaron and Miriam? He said, "Yeah, I use you. Congratulations. But I speak to Moses face to face." So I learned wherever I am that whoever the pastor is, I'm just here to help him out. I'm not here to cause division. I remember when I first got here, I said, "I'm not going to tell anybody I can preach. I'm going to not tell them I'm a pastor. I'm going to sit over there." And of course, I can't be quiet because I love to yell hallelujah. But, I didn't say nothing. And I brought a pastor friend with me one day, and we're sitting out there, and Kathy's talking to us, and he goes, "Yeah, I was a pastor of a church, and oh, by the way, this was my associate pastor." I'm like, "What is wrong with you?" So Jim said, "Well, why didn't you say anything?" I said, "Because, Jim, it can't be about Dwayne. Because every time it's about Dwayne, and I try to play God, I screw things up." Anybody ever have that problem? So I tell people, I'm going to let God be God, and I'm going to be Dwayne. It works out better for me. Yeah. Amen? And it worked better for you. But what we have to do in the church is somehow we got to figure a way to come together in one accord. When we come in here to worship, we need to worship together. We need to lift the name of Jesus and just say, thank you, Jesus. Because it's got to be about him. You will never be satisfied with possession, with money, with material things, or a job. The only time you'll find satisfaction in his life is when you're doing the work of the Lord. I know, I've tried pretty much everything. You know, partying, chasing women, done it all. The only true happiness I ever found was to pray for people, was to tell people about Jesus. This week we had a lady come to over our house. She said, I have some biblical questions I'd like to ask you. So we invited her over for dinner that night, and we shared a little bit before dinner, and afterwards me and her went downstairs. And I've known this lady since like 1982. Okay, I don't see a lot of kids' jaws drop. Most time you see that, their jaws drop and they say, well, I wasn't even born then. You know? Or they look at you and they say, did you know Moses? I said, no, I wasn't that popular to know Moses. So it's like, really? Really? Then I realized I got up there in age. But this lady attended church with me for a while when I was associate pastor of Covenant Faith Family Worship. And most of the time we talked, she bawled. And she bawled. And she'd ask a question and she'd cry some more. And while she was talking to me, I could see the hunger for Jesus. See, I knew she received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but I didn't know if she ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's great. Fantastic. Hallelujah. But did they receive power on high? So I got to talking with her, and I finally looked at her, and I said, have you ever received the Holy Spirit? Because when she was telling me things, God was telling me something in my other ear. Pray that she'd receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. So I got to lay hands on her. And I got to pray with her. And she left excited. See, that's what it's about. I can't give her the Holy Spirit. My Father in heaven gives her the Holy Spirit because of Jesus. Or when someone says, pray that I would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no greater honor that God could use me to do something like that. That's what's important. It's not what's important who's up here or if you don't agree with exactly what they're saying. If it doesn't affect your salvation, you might not be at that spiritual level yet. Does that make sense? If it's all about Jesus, then you're okay. See, there's times people said things from the pulpit, and I didn't agree 100%. So I'd go home and research it. But it never caused me to leave a church. See, we need one another. I need you. I need you to come together in prayer for this church. I need you to keep your eyes focused on Christ the Lord. And I need you to pray this week that God will have his way here at Calvary Chapel Eastside. I need you to pray this week that God will use Pastor Jim in a mighty way. I need you to pray this week that Jim and Kelly would continue to be servants of Jesus. I need you to pray today that when we come together next week, that the Holy Spirit will touch people and change lives. That's the focus we have to have. Satan's going to put potholes in your way through this life. He's going to put speed bumps to slow you down. Amen? I want you to... The stop sign that he showed up there is damaging behavior. We need to... Point one, we need to stop damaging behavior. And it could be in our marriage. I want you to lift up your spouse. Husband, I want you to love your wives. Wives, I want you to submit to your... Submission isn't a bad word. It said, submit to one another in the Lord. If your spouse is not saved, be so hungry for Jesus that they get jealous. Amen? Love them so much no matter what they do that they'll turn to God. We got to stop the damaging behavior inside of each one of us to say, no, stop, no more. No more, no more sinning. No more talking bad or down to my spouse. No more picking on my kids. No more talking down to people because they're not saved. No more. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop damaging behavior. I'm going to stop gossiping about this or that. And I'm going to focus in on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you look to me, I will let you down every time. But Jesus will never let you down. All right? It's all about Jesus. That's the focus we got to keep on. We got to keep that windshield pointed right to the cross of Calvary. We got to stop damaging behavior. We got to quit wounding one another and love one another. We got to stop the judgmental attitude of the church that I'm holy and they're not. We got to stop it. We got to start being the hands and feet, but most importantly, the heart of God. Without love, no man will see God. Love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Love does not envy, it does not boast, it doesn't seek its own. We need to think of the cares of others, just like them ladies reaching out to single moms, because they can be hurt and bad. We got to quit being judgmental, because we're not perfect. I don't judge people. There's a lady at work, she's gay, and she talks about her girlfriend, and I witness to her. I don't ever say nothing bad about her beliefs. I don't ever attack her. And the other day she came up to me and started to ask me questions about Jesus. That's where it's at. Because if I can teach her about Jesus and she can learn the love of God, then she can share. Years ago at Cornerstone Christian Center on the East Coast, they taught me how to love people unconditionally. Not because of their skin color, not about how much money they have, but to love people just because God loves them. And I remember there was this gay guy one day, he came into church. Nobody condemned him. Not one person said anything but, hi, how are you? And I remember watching every week and he'd come back. Papa Gene put his arm around him, how you doing? And he started reading his Bible and he started seeking God for his life. Not the way I think he should live. The way God says he should live. And he became born again and he received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And a couple weeks later, he had another guy by his side. And brought this guy every time. And you can tell he had that spirit of homosexuality. And he repented and he turned to Christ. And then I seen him take another guy. And I'm like, why don't we all do that? Why don't we grab a hand of a sinner and say, come with me and meet the God that loves you. Without judging them. Without judging them. And so she'll come up and talk to me now and then. And I just try to share a little bit with her. Not to condemn her. Years ago, I was trimming a house up at Skyway Heights. And that's where quite a bit of the money is. And I was getting ready to go in the house for the first time. And God spoke to me when I shut my car door. He said, don't you judge them. I go, well, thank you for telling me they're gay. And I walk in and sure, there's two guys there. I didn't say not much to them. Said, hello, my name is Dwayne. How are you? One guy I had a little problem with and it seemed like God pulled him out of the picture. And then a lot of times when I was at the house, I dealt with one of them. And I never condemned him. And then his dad died. And I got to share the love of God with him. I don't want a judgment spirit. I want them to know Jesus. Because I was just as bad as a sinner before I got Christ in my life. And I got to share with him Jesus. And I got to plant a seed. And I pray every day that God will water that seed. And I pray he'd give the increase. And that he'll turn and know Jesus with all of his heart, soul, and mind. And that's where we have to get to a church. Because love is of God. That's where we have to point to. There are so many ways to defile our temples by what we watch, what we read, the things we do, the places we go. But there's warning signs all through the scripture. Damaging behavior has infiltrated our churches, and it's hurting us. It's hurting our witness. It's hurting our testimony of Jesus Christ. If I fail, it's one thing. But if I shame the name of Jesus, totally different. What I want people to see in me is Jesus. I joke with the guys, I talk with the guys, and this job's coming to the end, and everybody said, well, you know we're getting laid off next week, and I said, yeah. They go, does it bother you? I go, no. They go, why not? I go, God. I said, it's a new adventure, new people to witness to, another place to go. I'm kind of looking forward to it. And some of the guys said, well, we don't want to work with you no more. And then by the end of the day, they all came up and said, brother, we really enjoyed working with you. Thank you. And you know what I tell them? Jesus loves you. And most of the guys I deal with, alcoholics, drug addictions, in and out of prisons, but Jesus loves them. For God so loved the world. So I share with them. And I tell them, Jesus loves you. And I always say, hey, who's it about? And one of the guys will always say, I know, Dwayne, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And that's what it's about. Let's stop the judgmental attitude. Let's let our kids see Christ in us. Let's our spouses see Jesus in us. Let our neighbors see Jesus in us. Let a dying and lost world see light of Jesus in us. Then we can change the world. One soul at a time for Jesus, we can change the world. If a guy that's caught up in homosexuality can lead one person to Christ and another person to Christ and bring another person, why can't we bring the lost to Christ? I remember they brought this family off the streets of Washington, D.C., a black family, and they got him a job, and they loved him, and they got him a right to work every day. They didn't care who took him. They were going to take this man to work so he could support his family. And one day that brother got up, and he grabbed a hold of that microphone, and he had one of them deep voices, and he sung Amazing Grace, and I bawled. He's on the street. Nobody loved him. Church went over, put their arms around him, and loved him, and gave him the hope that every one of us in this room has. Our hope, according to Hebrews 6:18, it says we have the hope, an anchor of our soul. That hope are the promises of God. He now has that hope. Why? Because the church didn't judge him, but it loved him. I'd never forget that when he grabbed hold of that microphone and he cut loose, and I thought, man, that's beautiful. And all he wanted to do was give glory to God. He didn't have much to give, but boy, when he cut loose, he had a lot more in singing than I have. But Cornerstone taught me it is more important to love than to judge. That's where we have to be. I want to read out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm only reading about 13 verses here. Again, another letter to the churches. And Paul speaking, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Every one of you in this sanctuary are called by God. We don't see it. We look in the mirror, we see ourselves. But, you know, my Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say some things. The guys at work look at me and they go, brother, every time you go to the job right away, they say, hey, let's make him the boss. And I'm like, I don't want to be the boss. I just want to be Dwayne. And they said, no, we want to make you the boss. And I asked the guy one day, I said, well, you know, I don't understand. I go on job and they go, you beam with confidence. You beam with confidence. I don't see it. All I see is Dwayne. But I do know I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So if God says, you know what? I want you to go across the street. I want you to go talk to your neighbor. I want you to tell them about Jesus. A pastor shared one day from a pulpit. God spoke to him as he was getting ready to leave church. And God goes, go across the street and tell that neighbor, invite him to church. And he goes, I thought about it and I was a little nervous, too scared, and I left. He goes, 3 weeks later, we went by and I see this guy loading up in his car. And looks like he was in the church. So I went across the street and I said, brother, what are you doing? He said, yeah, these people invited me to their church, so I'm going over there. And he goes, I missed an opportunity, so God used somebody else. Don't let God use somebody else. Don't let God use somebody else. I promise you, there are better preachers in the world. There are people that can speak a lot better than me, a lot smarter than me. And all the time I'm like, God, why do you use me? He goes, because you'll stand up. I'm like, boy, I don't like me preaching. You know, I'm glad somebody out there does. But I look at me too much. So I've learned to look at Jesus. Even when I fail, which is the hardest thing for me to do, is when I make a mistake and I fall, to look and say, Jesus, sorry. Sorry. Let us continue. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, boy, that's a tough word, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You might not always agree, but you can say, you know what, devil? I ain't quitting. I'm not quitting. I'm going to be support my pastor in prayer. I'm going to support Covenant Faith. I'm going to support Calvary Chapel Eastside. I'm going to support everybody out there, Father. I'm not going to talk bad about this denomination. I'm not going to talk bad about that denomination. I'm going to try to walk in the unity of love. And I'm going to attend church regularly. I'm going to lift Pastor Jim up prayer every Sunday before I get here. Every Monday before I get here. Every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday before I get here. Another teaching that shocked me a couple months ago when I was watching TV and I was watching a TBN or one of the Christian channels, and the sign come up and it said, if you are not worshiping on the Sabbath day, you're worshiping on the devil's day. And I'm like, great, here we go again. We want to find something different. We want to find something new. So I get Christians asking me when they hear something like that or something, and finally, a guy came up to me, and I think he was Seventh-day Adventist, which believes in the Sabbath day, and that's fine. I don't care. You love Jesus. That's all I need to know. And he goes, well, brother, what day do you worship on? I go, well, why would you ask me that? Well, you know it says keep the Sabbath day holy. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, some cops can't go to church on Saturday. They're working. Should they not go at all? So I said, well, let me ask you a question. Does God want you to worship one day a week, or do you think he wants you worshiping 7 days a week? Just a question. He never asked me that question again. God wants you to worship 7 days a week. We come here to get a boost. We come here to get refreshed. But as a Christian, you need to be worshiping 7 days a week. You need to be on your knees 7 days a week. You need to be in your Bibles 7 days a week. Why? So we can stop sinning. So we could stop the damaging behavior that is plaguing the church in America. We can stop it. I was raised Catholic, and then I went to a Baptist church for a while. And then a church rejected me. I still get a kick out of that one because I went and I said, hey, I'd like to join your church. And he was like, well, and I'm only 20 years old. I have no clue about God. And he said, you know, first, why don't you get your life together and then attend church? And I was like, dang, I thought that's why I needed a Savior. I must be all right all by myself. And I couldn't believe it. Rejected even by the church. I was a pretty good sinner. But as hard as I'm a sinner, I'm trying to run for God now. I'm trying to run harder for God than I ever was a sinner. Someone said, well, why don't you attend that church anymore? You were raised that way. I said, they rejected me long before I rejected them. So you know what it did? It got me in my word. It got me to read the Bible. It got me to find out what God expected, what God wanted. Because I said, no one's going to pull the wool over Dwayne's eyes. I want to know the truth because according to Scripture, truth sets you free. So I read, and I read, and I didn't understand. So I read some more. I don't know. I know I read through the Bible at least 7 times, not including Bible studies, teachings, stuff like that. Not because I want to be special, because I want to draw closer to God. I want to know you, Lord, and I want to know you more. Let's go on. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. We are one. We're brothers and sisters. You might consider me black sheep, but that's okay. I love you anyways. We are one. It doesn't matter rich, poor, black, white. It doesn't matter. We are one. We are part of the same family. We have the same God. And we got to come into this unity and stop the damaging behavior. It's got to stop. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, he's in all of us. We're family. But to each one of you, the grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does that mean? That he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some leaders, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen? Amen. We're in this thing together. You know, it said leaders. Every one of you is spiritual leader here. If you call yourself a Christian, you are a spiritual leader. Say it with me. I am a spiritual leader. That's what you are. I tell people all the time, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, act like a Christian. Help my witness. Help my witness. Okay. A perfect man means stability, integrity, and maturity. Amen? Integrity means honesty. When you tell somebody you can do it, do you? Integrity. Boy, I see that lacking in a lot of places. Maturity. Well, so-and-so really upset me today. Put your feelings on the shelf. It's not about your feelings. Maturity. I once told a lady to grow up in church. Boy, did I pay for that one. Long story, but she was screaming and hollering at me in the sanctuary. And I remember I said, stop. She goes, what? I said, how long have you been a Christian? She goes, 13 years. I said, then grow up. She ran to the pastor's office, and I'm like, oh, here we go again. About Tuesday night, the pastor called me on the phone. And he goes, Dwayne, how you doing? I go, Pastor, I'm doing just fine. And he started talking to me, and I go, oh, this conversation isn't about me telling so-and-so to grow up. He goes, no, I was hoping she'd listen to you. I was like, phew. I figured they were going to say goodbye. There's the door. Have a nice time. Unfortunately, we seem to think we got this market on holiness. And without Jesus and the blood, there is no holiness. I hate to tell you this. Without Jesus, you are not holy. It's the blood that makes us holy. It's the Son that makes us holy. So you know what? We need to grow up. I don't know how else to say it. I had to grow up. You don't know how many times that I went home pouting and mad and God got a hold of me in my prayer closet and said, okay, now we need to talk. And I said, God, you don't understand. When that man preached from that pulpit, he told everybody my life story. He threw me on the bus, ran me over, came back. God said, he didn't know you. He doesn't know you from the Pope. That message came from me. Now you got a choice. You can accept and grow up, or you can go the other way. I was like, all right, well, sorry. I think I'll continue with you. Thank you. See, God doesn't pull punches with me. He's direct. He's told me before to apologize to people. I remember one day he asked me to apologize to somebody. I said, Father, I didn't say nothing wrong. He goes, I know. But he goes, I want you to apologize anyways. And the guy wasn't saying no. And I said, look, I'm sorry if I said something to offend you. It was never my intent. And he looks, he goes, well, thank you. Did it do any good? I don't know. I haven't seen the brother since, but I sure pray it did. See, I'm not responsible for other people's actions, but in God's eyes, I am responsible for mine. We got to stop the damaging behavior. How about wrong way? Can you throw up wrong way? Wrong way. Deceptive attitudes. We're going the wrong way. Deceptive attitudes. Oh, well, Brother Dwayne, you know, in 1985, God used me. Congratulations. Has he used you since? I'm going to give you a true story. This happened about 1988, 1989. One of the hardest people I've really seen for humility, and I'm not beating up anybody, but seems to be praise and worship leaders. So much so that my brother-in-law, Steve, who pastors a church in Bethlehem, New Hampshire, will never have a praise and worship leader because he's seen it time and time again. See, God decides to use them. And their head goes, look at me. I'm more anointed than the pastor. Look at me. And this one guy got that bad. He was such a gifted and talented musician and songwriter that Maranatha came to him and said, we want you to do a whole CD. Put your name on the label. He came back in the church and said, I'm a more anointed than the pastor. I'm it, man. I've reached the top. I'm the man. About 3 weeks of this, the pastor pulled him aside and said, I can't use you no more. You have to step down. You missed it. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. I don't care. I can go anywhere. I'm the man. See, I can sing and I can play. To this day, he never produced the CD. That I know of, he's never led praise and worship again. What a terrible fall. It hurts me to think about it. See, when God uses you, let's not get a big head because he used a donkey. You understand? I tell people all the time, if God can use that donkey, he can use Dwayne. I'm as stubborn as a mule. You don't believe me? Try me. My wife will tell you, that boy's stubborn. He's hard-headed. All right? Because when God's going to start moving, I believe God is going to move. That's what I'm believing God for. That he's going to move in this church. And again, we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders. And we're going to give glory to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. But when God starts moving, I don't care who he uses. Remember, it's all about Jesus. It's all about you. When God sends you across the street and you get to pray for the neighbor, see Jesus Christ. Don't forget to give glory to Jesus. When God uses you to help the poor, don't forget to give glory where glory is due. Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. We tend to go the wrong way. Years ago, I prayed about over these little girls. I loved them, Tiffany and Emily. One was in a wheelchair and one walked with a cane. And Jim could probably explain it better, but they had a muscle disorder and their muscles weren't growing. And I loved those two little girls. Matter of fact, when they moved back home, it broke my heart. I love kids. You know, Galen will tell you, I love kids. And they came back and visit, and he's since been called to be a pastor. And the wife looked at me and she said, "You're right." That's first. I was right. She goes, "Yeah, you prophesied one day that Emily would get out of that wheelchair, raise her hands, and praise God." I said, "No." She said, "No, it was you." And I said, "It was God through me, but I know it wasn't me. I never prophesied a day in my life." She goes, "Pastor Duane, it was you." And I said, "Let's just give glory to God and thank God that that little girl at 7 years old stood up for the first time and raised her hand." Amen. I couldn't lift her up. I couldn't touch her. All I could do is share the love of God with her. See, it's not about me. I've prayed before and people said, "Hey, God, heal me." Well, give glory to God. That's what he's in there for. Because I can't do it. So when God uses you, stay with humility. Remember, the source of your salvation is Christ. Nothing of any worth, of any good, can you do on your own. So whenever God uses you, don't go the wrong way and say, "Hey, check me out. God gave me a word today." No. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for using me. A sinner saved by your blood." See, I want God to use me. I want him to use me today. I want him to use me tomorrow. I want to share the gospel. I want to tell people about Jesus. I got a little bit far behind my notes, so. Warning signs. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6:1. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You got that warning sign? Warning. Oh, the Bible's full of warnings. You ever notice that? The Old Testament shows us men of God that goofed up. You know, I look at King David as a scoundrel. Man, he was a sinner. Am I wrong? Had a affair, had a man killed. Man, David made mistakes, but you know what made David so great? He relied on his God. He knew to turn to when he failed. And he knew how to repent. I hate to say this, I fail all the time. But I know who to turn to. Warning sign. They're everywhere. Think about this one. Do not be unequally yoked. And we avoid that sign. And we get married. And we're like, "Oh gosh, I thought I could change him." Warning sign. "Well, I'm going to leave them because they're not saved." God doesn't give you permission now, honey. Boy, people sometimes don't like coming to me advice. I've never figured out why. They ask me a question, I give them a direct answer. Sin is sin. There's warning signs through the scriptures, do's and don'ts. And they're warning you. Why? So you can draw closer to God. So he can use you more. So you can be a light in darkness. Yeah. Well, there's warning signs everywhere. We got to pay attention to them. I tell you what. If me and you will focus in on Jesus, and we focus in on loving one another just right here, and we focus in our commitment to for this church, Calvary Chapel Eastside, and we commit to prayer for our pastors, and we commit to tithes so the lights stay on. I kind of like the lights. and we commit. And the reason I say tithe benefits you, not the church. Someday I'll share the one that I gave my dad. And my dad said, boy, out of everything you have taught me, tithing was probably the thing that helped me the most. Honestly. Yes, I'm 51 and my dad still calls me boy. The other day he goes, boy, come here. I go, dad, I'm 50. Shut up, boy. Okay. I'm like, really, dad? But he's still a lot of times, and you don't believe me, my nephew's here. He'll tell you the same thing. He says, boy, come here. But he said one of the most things, and that's why I say tithe is so important. And I say that because, you know, your tithe does not benefit me. I tell this to people on the job site all the time, especially when they're young Christians. I'm going to tell them, I always tell them to pay your tithe. Understand, if you pay your tithe, you're now on God's economy and not the world's economy. You don't think about it that way. But, you know, they said, you know, through this bad economy, I've had great jobs. I made more money than I ever have. You know, I was on a job when I left. They wrote me out a check for $7,200. They go, thank you. I go, no, thank you. You know? But I don't worry about my finances at all. And people go, why? I pay my tithe. I don't have a big bank account. I believe it needs to be shared around. You know, there's other ministries I support. But the best thing for you to do for your finances is pay your tithe, honestly. It's not going to benefit Dwayne one bit, but it will benefit you. And that's what I encourage people for. But I also want you to encourage you that we got to get together. We need to join hands. We need to love each other. We need to be supportive. Will you join me? Will you join me of telling people about Jesus? Will you join me sharing the love of God? See, that's where I need you. I can't do it alone. But I tell you what, if you end up going to a job site and you walk in the humility of Jesus Christ and you walk in love, when I get there, I can share a little more. Witness, even if you have to say a word. Somebody got that? Witness, even if you have to say a word. Be the light, please. Heed the warning signs. Let's stop sinning. If you're going the wrong way, turn around. Focus on the cross of Calvary. Give glory to God. Focus on Jesus. And you know what? If you're going through a hard time, I want you to look back. Do you remember how many times Jesus took care of you? I'm 51. I look back and I'm amazed how much. But every time I struggle a little bit with my face, I look back and I thought, you know, he took care of me then. He'll take care of me now. He's going to take care of you. But what he wants you to do is be his hands and feet. But we got to be united. We got to come in unity here. I need you. And the last thing, can you put that cross up there? Isaiah 35:8 says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway to holiness. There you have it. There's your highway to holiness. Without holiness, no man should see God. Holiness comes from a right relationship with Jesus. It doesn't come by how many whatever you do. It doesn't come from how much you pray. It doesn't come from how much you read. It comes from Calvary, that cross. That's where it's at. We need to keep our focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All right? That's the most important thing. If you don't get anything today, it's all about Jesus. And the highway to holiness is to keep your eyes on Christ and keep moving that way. If you're going the wrong way, turn around. Amen? All right. We're going to pray. Father, I need you. Father, we need you. Father, we need your spirit. Father, we need your guidance. Father, our prayer is to reach the lost, Father. Father, if it's one, if it's a million, Father, use us. Use us to glorify you. Father, give us the words through your Holy Spirit and give us your heart for the lost. Father, that we can reach out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us be the light in the darkness, Father. This world's falling fast, Father. It seems like we keep heading into darkness, Father God, yet we're the light. Help us to stay on that road of holiness, Father God. Help us to keep focused in on you. Father, I need you. I can't do it alone. I can't, Father. We can't. Help us to love one another, even through our differences, Father. And Father, we lift up Kathy and Jim and the Etheridge family. Right here, right now, Father God, that you'd reach down from heaven and touch them, Father, and give them healing, Father, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Father God. Father, your arm isn't too short. We know you. Touch them. And Father, help us be the light you've called us to. We ask you these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.